The U.S. dollar is fluctuating, gasoline reserves are low, and the price is rising. World events are, at best, uncertain. How would you fare a stock market crash, hyperinflation, or an overall economic collapse? What would you do if you woke up and the U.S. dollar had the buying power of a penny? Call Swiss America at 1-800-BUY-COIN for a free 21-page report explaining the current economic dangers and how you can take steps to protect yourself and family. Call Swiss America at 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. To learn how you can become prepared, call 1-800-289-2646 and mention you heard it on the American Voice Radio Network. Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch. We're broadcasting live again, of course, from the Flint Hills of Kansas. But as we always do, we'll turn this program over to the Lord, so we'll have a prayer first before we bring our guest on. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. I ask that what comes out on this program is what you want to come out, and not what I want or our guests, but just what you want to come out by your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we also thank you for the time with the world this week. In Yeshua's name, amen. As recorded in Matthew 24:21-22, Yeshua says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall there ever be. And except that those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, except for the elect saved. Those days shall be shortened." Messiah warned this, but the church in America doesn't seem to be awake to the fact. They seem to think that we're going to fly out of here and nothing will happen to us. While if you look around the world, the church is in great tribulation all around the world in different countries. Christians are being crucified. Some places they're being beheaded, locked up, thrown in prison. But yet the church in America still seems to think nothing will touch us. Well, praise the Lord. I'm hoping our guest today, I really don't know why I brought him on here. I don't know much about him other than I know that he's a speaker, that he has spoke for the Prophecy Club. He's a book author, but the Lord touched my heart when Stan started speaking about his materials at the Prophecy Club, and I thought, well, maybe I can get this man on, maybe not. So I just prayed about it, and with first contact, he agreed to be on with us. And so would you please welcome David Ells. Welcome, David. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Dan. I appreciate this opportunity to share some good things with your audience, and God bless you, brethren.
Well, praise the Lord. We've been talking in the past weeks about, we've had people on such as Benjamin Baruch and a few others, and they all seem to be feeling in their spirits that, you know, something is about, great turmoil is about to hit America. I believe through the storms and everything that we've been seeing that God's warning America that judgment is indeed coming to this country. So along those lines, you know, I believe the Lord has brought you to this program to give us some insight. And so, my brother, I'd like to hear what's on your heart.
All right. You know, as our previous correspondence there by email, you had told me that you were talking about preparing spiritually for the tribulation. And I thought at the time that the first thing you told me, I thought, well, that's just exactly what I'd love to be able to share with my brethren.
Well, amen.
Because so many people are preparing in the flesh, and most of their preparations will be for naught. The Lord has shown me that. But there's one thing you can do, and that is, the Bible says, righteousness delivereth from death. The most important thing for us to prepare for what's coming is to be abiding in Christ. He is the secret place of the Most High. He is the rock that we're supposed to hide in, right?
Yes, amen. I agree totally. And, you know, every program that we've had, it seems like at the when we did talk about preparations and different things, it all came back, and every one of these people, it came back to the same thing, that we need to be prepared totally with in Messiah. And I don't think, looking at the body of Christ, I don't really see him being prepared for just like what you went down through down there in Florida, let alone what is coming on this earth. How do you feel about that?
Well, I know it's true. I can look at my neighbors around me and see even the Christians weren't prepared to understand their rights in the kingdom. And many of them suffered for it. It's just like how many of God's people don't believe in divine healing and they suffer for it, you know, needlessly.
Right.
But we have some rights in the kingdom. I'd like to share some of them with the audience today because I'm really enthused about what's coming. I'm not afraid of it at all. I think it's going to be a great blessing to the people of God. God's people are going to finally step up and take their place in the kingdom and do the works of Jesus Christ, and he's going to see to it. It's going to be a glorious time. No doubt there'll be crucifixion to the flesh, but that's part of it.
Yes, amen. I agree with you, and that's what we need, is to learn how to be prepared in Messiah. I know that in our little congregation, you know, we are in that kind of preparation. We are getting on our face to the Lord. We are hearing from the Lord. I believe that we don't necessarily have to travel 200 miles to see some body when they say, well, this guy's a great speaker or something. Not that there's wrong with going and traveling to see somebody, but, you know, God speaks to the simple man. I mean, he speaks to all of us, and if we would just open up and hear. But they need to know how, David. Can you give them some insight?
Yes, that's exactly what I want to do. The Lord has prepared me for this. As a matter of fact, many, many years ago, the Lord spoke to me loud and clear, and he said, I'm bringing you through a wilderness so that you can tell my people that I still supply all their needs there. You know, the people of God in the book of Exodus were brought out into the wilderness to learn some lessons and to give a sacrifice unto the Lord. And that's basically what the Lord taught me is, you know, the wilderness in the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is called the wilderness. And in Revelation 17, the second 3.5 years is also called the wilderness. So we know that the woman that goes into the wilderness in Revelation 12 is none other than the church. In and according to the type and the shadow that Israel went into their wilderness. So we're, you know, as Pharaoh was told, we have to go 3 days' journey out into the wilderness in order to make a sacrifice that's acceptable to God. It's because God doesn't want his people living in Egypt and living according to the principles and the supply and the salvation of Egypt. The wilderness that we're headed to is a completely secure place for the believer, because everything has already been provided there. Many people are worried about their provision that's coming, and they're storing up here and storing up there and doing things here. But let me tell you about a storehouse, a very rich storehouse that will be with you wherever you go in this wilderness. For many years I've been walking in this wilderness, and the Lord has shown me something about it. Our faith in the promises is the very substance that the desired need is made from. In Hebrews 11:1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Yes, amen.
We need to give to God a substance, and he will make sure that the things that we hope for will be ours if we will do that. The reason Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The reason is that God has already given. Actually, the word there, receive, in the Greek is received. All things whatsoever you pray, all things, remember that, all things you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. Mark 11:24. You know why God wants us to believe we've already received? Because that's what faith is.
Yes,
faith is believing you've received something that you do not see. And another thing that faith does is very precious to God, and that is that it excludes our works to save ourselves. As you know, salvation in any form is not by our works, but is by his works, which were from the foundation of the world and which were manifested at that cross.
Yes,
his works,
I totally agree with that. Amen.
His works have accomplished for us already everything that we need to bring us totally into the kingdom of God. For instance, let me point something out to you about the promises of God concerning the provision that the Lord has made for us.
Amen.
They're all past tense. Have you ever noticed that? For instance, in Ephesians 2 and 8, it says, "For by grace have you been saved." That's what it literally says. Have you been saved through faith? And 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who in his own self bare our sins," bare, past tense, "in his body, whose stripes you were healed." Notice the past tense of all these promises. The Lord wants us to believe that we have received already. And there's a reason for this. Because when you believe you have received, it excludes your works. How many of you know that when you believe that you were healed, anything that you do in attempt to get healed past that point proves that you did not believe that verse?
Amen. I agree with that.
The whole point of past tense salvation in every form is that we will receive it, not by our works, not by the things that we can do or the world can provide. Remember what Egypt did, because the Israelites, when they were in bondage in Egypt, Egypt provided all of their needs because they were in bondage. And you know what the Egyptian represented in the Old Testament? First of all, Paul told us very plainly that they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud unto Moses.
Right.
Meaning the baptism there was for the death of the old man and the resurrection of the new man. And the Egyptian obviously was the old man, because the Egyptian is the one who died in the Red Sea, and the Israelite, who was the spiritual man, came up on the other side. So what does life in Egypt, in bondage in Egypt, represent? It represents being in bondage to the old man, the flesh, in the world. That's what it represents. Now you know why God demanded that Pharaoh set his people free so that they could go out and sacrifice to him in the wilderness. They would no longer be in bondage to the old man, no longer be in bondage to his salvations or provisions.
Right.
Now they would come straight out of heaven from God. The old man would get none of the credit, and these people would learn faith in the Almighty God. That's the only place they could sacrifice. Notice they had to go 3 days out into the wilderness to make the sacrifices, because 3 days represents the death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
That we go through when we cannot provide for ourselves, but we put our trust in Almighty God. You know, the continuing on of these verses in Colossians 1 and 13, it says, "Who delivered us out of the power of darkness," past tense, "and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love," past tense. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, "Who reconciled us unto himself," again, past tense. The word "reconciled" there is the word kataleso, and it means an exchange. You see, the Lord made an exchange for us. He exchanged the life and the blessing of Jesus Christ for our sin and cursing. That exchange was made at the cross. And now we're a new creation. All things have passed away. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We claim that as a good confession of our faith. Galatians 2 and 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ." We never again have to worry about the old man and his life and him having dominion over us if we walk by faith, because faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me." We don't have a sin problem. We have a faith problem. You know, Galatians 3 and 13 says, "Christ redeemed us." Notice, all of these verses are past tense. "Redeemed us from the curse, having become a curse for us." God took the Deuteronomy 28 curse, and he put that upon Jesus Christ so that we could have, in that verse, Abraham's blessings.
Yes, amen.
So many of God's people are living under the curse, and they don't realize that we have a Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5 tells us, "For our Passover has been sacrificed." even Christ. Jesus was sacrificed. He bore the curse of death for us, so that the destroying angel would pass over us. God's people are living beneath their blessings and their promises because they won't get into the Word. Here's one thing, they won't eat the lamb. It's enough that the lamb has been sacrificed, but in order for there to be a Passover, they had to eat the lamb.
Yes, amen.
And,
I agree.
And the lamb is the Word of God. And the Word of God is what we must devour. You know, when you eat food, it goes into you. It becomes who you are. It becomes your very cells. And when we devour the Word of God, it's the Word made flesh in us. It goes into us. It recreates the life of Christ in us. And you know, there is no curse on Christ. And that's what, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory that the Bible speaks about, right?
Amen.
Christ redeemed us from the curse. Read Exodus 12 very carefully. You have to eat all of the lamb for there to be a Passover. That meant, and it said there in particular that you had to eat his head, which represents the mind of Christ, the Word of God, you know. You had to eat his inwards, which represents his heart. You had to eat the feet, which represents his walk. We need to partake. I remember back before I had heard of divine healing, for instance, that I was doing without it. It wasn't that it wasn't already accomplished for me. It was the fact that I wasn't exercising any faith in it, and therefore I wasn't receiving any of the benefit of it.
Right.
But very quickly I realized this wonderful blessing, and I've been healed ever since, miraculously, of the Lord. Christ redeemed us from the curse. The Father begat us again, past tense, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have been sanctified, Hebrews 10 and 10. And verse 14 says, and he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Isn't that a blessing? You don't have to become perfect. The Lord accomplished that for you. You enter into that through faith in his promises. Since so many people do not believe those promises, they are not entering into that benefit of Jesus Christ. We can't make ourselves perfect, but God has all power to perfect us, to mature us, if we would just walk by faith in him. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, hath blessed us. 2 Peter 1 and 3, he hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his glory and virtue, whereby he has granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these we may become partakers of his divine nature. Notice it's all past tense. He has accomplished, he has provided everything for us already. It's there when we get there, folks. The wilderness is the place where you cannot supply it yourself. Notice, since these promises are all past tense, what can you do to bring them to pass? You can do nothing in your flesh to bring them to pass. You just have to accept them as a free gift, as grace, which is unmerited, unearned favor. The Lord has provided for us richly. The Apostle Paul said, because this is true, because we were saved, healed, delivered, provided for. The Apostle Paul said, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But now, is that true only in a prosperous economy, or is that not true in a wilderness?
That's really true in the wilderness.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the whole point. Why are you going to pack it all out there on your back? You know, why did God permit the Israelites to pack their supply out of Egypt on their back? I'll tell you why. It was the only way he could get them to leave. Listen, in 3 days they started running out of everything that they carried out there. And
right.
And what a burden it was to carry it out there. 3 days out of 40 years now. The rest of those 40 years, it was Almighty God who supplied their need, but this time it had to come through faith. He expected it to come through faith. And what I'm saying is, I know there's a lot of Christians there storing up faithfully, getting ready for the wilderness, but I'm going to tell you what, that stuff ain't going to last you any more than it lasted them. And it may soothe your faith a little bit and ease you into this wilderness, but let me tell you what God is bringing you out there for. He's bringing us out there to become people of faith, people who call the things that be not as though they were, people who can believe they have received because totally on the grounds that God Almighty said it himself. You can't get far enough from God that he cannot meet your needs everywhere you are. He's taught me this. I'm going to share some testimonies with you how he showed me this. I'm totally convinced that the people of God are going to be so impressed with God, and that's the reason he's bringing us out of Egypt and into the wilderness. Get out in that wilderness now. Don't wait. Walk by faith now. The wilderness, again, it's a place of weakness. It's a place of no visible means of you supporting yourself, of the Egyptians supplying your need, you see. A place of weakness. Well, what did God tell Paul? He said, my power is made perfect in weakness. You see,
yes,
folks, it's when we stop that God starts. It's when we cease from our works of trying to save ourselves that he saves us. Listen to what God says, the method that he chose. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 28, he says that God chose the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. Isn't that awesome? Think
That's
about
fantastic.
It now. Men don't like that idea. It make, because the things that are not are these promises that I just got through quoting you. When you look at that promise, it says it's already accomplished, and you look around you and you say, well, I don't see it, because it is not. See, God chose the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. What are the things that are? Here's the things that are. Look around you. It's the curse. It's all around you. It is lack. It's need. It's sin. All these things, and God chose one thing to do away with them. Did you ever see Jesus use the things that are to do away with the things that are, or his disciples? No, they did not. They used the spoken word, and when they spoke it out of their mouth, it was not so in the natural realm, but after they spoke it, it came to pass.
Yes, amen.
And I've learned that this, right out of your mouth, is where salvation comes from. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Yes,
so how do we use the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are, which is the lack, the need, the curse all around us? Romans 4 and 17 tells us that God calls the things that are not as though they were. Notice, past tense again, were. See, God has chosen this foolishness to man to confound the wisdom of the wise and take away all the glory of man. Because if you believe that you were healed, everything that you do to try to get healed from that point on proves that you did not believe the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes it. We need to believe what the word says exactly the way it says it, and we will have miraculous provision. I have had miraculous provision ever since I learned this lesson. I don't have to talk God into saving me, providing for me, healing me, and delivering me. He says it's already done. All I have to do is accept it by faith as a free gift. People are wasting all of their spiritual energy trying to talk God into doing something when God would say to them, didn't you read my book? Didn't you read what I said? It is finished. I have overcome the world. You know, the Lord has accomplished all this at the cross. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, he said back then. You see, we've been given total authority over the prince of darkness and over his minions. Listen, Israel was 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and they started running out of everything that the Egyptians had supplied for them. So now their supply had to come out of heaven from God, supernaturally.
Yeah.
And I learned this as a very young Christian. I was a year old in the Lord when the Lord gave me the word of knowledge and wisdom. And the way the word of knowledge and wisdom works in me, because there's differing gifts and they differ in their in their manifestation, according to what Paul said. The way it works in me is God speaks to me things about the Scriptures, and he puts them together, and he shows me revelations, wonderful revelations that I can take absolutely no credit for myself, because it's he chose a foolish, weak vessel here, and he loves to do that to make sure that people know it's from him and not from me.
I can sure attest to that fact. Brother, right now, while I've got a word in here, we're getting ready to go to a break here in a minute, but I want to make a couple small comments on what you've already said. Praise the Lord, Bate. It's just like I tell people, quit praying for the same thing over and over. Pray for it once, and if you feel a need to say something again, just thank him the next time you have that urge to pray for the same thing. Thank him for already receiving it, because that it will manifest in his timing and not yours.
Amen.
But praise the Lord, this is very edifying, and I've already been edified, so I know the listeners are. We're getting ready to go to break, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes, and praise the Lord, you'll give us some more great spiritual insight. Thank you.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back. Whether you call it commercial redemption or accept it for value, The Commerce Game Exposed is the book that will help you understand this process. The fact is, there is no lawful money in circulation. The explanation and details as to how this happened are enlightening. And the instructions concerning what one can do with this information are detailed and easy to understand. Utilizing this process is not for everyone, but learning how lawful money has been turned into commercial debt instruments should be of concern to everyone. The Commerce Game Exposed book is a good tool to learn the commercial nature of the New World Order. To order the Commerce Game Exposed, go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050. The fruits are grown in chaos, distrust, and economic depression. A weary populace can seek peace only from the solutions they offer. They have worked until suicide has become so common that it generally calls forth no legitimate investigation. They have used the courts, the judges, the medical profession, and even the Constitution to further their ends. America now has over 1 million of its citizens in prison for political crimes. So who are they? And how long have they been at this? Psychopolitical Warfare is a 70-page color cover booklet that describes the strategy and tactics behind psychopolitics. Psychopolitics is only $10 from The American Voice. Go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050 for ordering information.
Vitamin E prevents internal blood clots, but not all vitamin E is equal. Would you like to get a vitamin E that makes blood flow more smoothly than Plavix, but with no harmful side effects? Four Spectrum Natural Unesterified Vitamin E Complex has been called WD-40 for your blood. It actually lubricates the blood while it dissolves plaque. It prevents platelet aggregation and internal clotting. It neutralizes smoke, fumes, waste, and other harmful free radicals. Doctors report relief from angina, painful leg cramps, strokes, fibrocystic breast tumors, circulation problems, and much more. Get one bottle for $35 postpaid, two bottles for only $60 postpaid. Restore this vital nutrient removed from your food supply through food processing. Read more at 4spectrum.us, spelled number 4spectrum.us. Call 800-581-8906. That's 800-581-8906. Order today.
Careless times I know are here, men's are spent.
Greetings, this is Pastor Dan, and we're back on the American Voice Radio Network. We are Messiah's Branch, and we're into the Prophecy Hour. We have with us guest David Ells, but before I bring him back on, or he can even comment if he wants on this, that song you just heard was from Brother Ben. He's a man that's been warning people for the last 10 years about the coming trouble on America. And while he's been wrong in some of his theology, his music is just, I can't even put words to it. That's where the Lord blessed him. And he does what he calls end time music. And I have a CD of it, or I can make it into a tape for you. As you know, Messiah's Branch, we don't sell anything. So if you wish a tape of his wonderful music or a CD, you just email me or write me, and I will ask that you cover cost. If you cover cost, like $5, you know, that will cover the cost of it, and I will get this music out to you. Well, welcome, David. What did you think about that song from Brother Ben there?
It was beautiful. Beautiful. I like wonderful. It.
He's really blessed with just wonderful music he does about the end times, and he has one that's called You Are My Savior, and it's about Messiah, and I cry every time I listen to it. But praise the Lord. I'm just trying to get some comforting music out to the people. But your words are very comforting, and you were talking about faith before we left, and I see that's where people fall. We have a little mission in Wichita, and we don't have the money to feed these people. We feed hundreds and hundreds of meals a week and clothe people, and miraculously the Lord has, after he told us, he said, this is what you're to do, do it. Well, we walked out and stood out in faith and have did it, and we've been there 4 years doing it, and he just takes care of it because it's his and it's not ours, and I know it's there. It doesn't matter if my pockets are completely blank or the checking account. I know that he's going to provide for their next meal. I know that he's going to provide them coats. I know that he's going to provide them blankets because he told me so. And that's in the past tense, as you said. So, praise the Lord. I'll just let you go on now, my brother.
Okay. Well, God bless you. Thank you. You know, like God told Paul, my power is made perfect in weakness. We never want to negotiate with the problems around us through a position of weakness. We always want to negotiate with it through a position of worldly strength. But many times God has to bring us to the end of ourselves so that we will give up and put our faith totally in Him.
Yes.
He doesn't want to share His glory with another. By grace, if you've been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God doesn't want man to be able to boast in his salvation. That's why he brought them into a wilderness, a place where they could not provide for themselves so that they could put their faith in him so that he would get all the glory. And that's his plan this time too, folks. But all of the works of man that they do to try to prepare for this coming wilderness, like I said, it'll run out in about 3 days. But God's got a greater plan. He wants them to see the manna out of heaven, the water out of the rock, you know, these awesome miracles of his provision. He wants to prove himself great. He wants to prove himself mighty in our eyes. It's important to him. And it's also important to him that the righteous live from faith. You know, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him, says the Lord, you know. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God, and yet that's exactly where the church is. It's salvation by works in every form. They run to Egypt every time they got a nosebleed. Every time there's a problem, they run to the world, and God doesn't appreciate it. He's made these awesome promises that God's people totally ignore so that they can run to Egypt for salvation. You notice how they always cried to go back to the flesh pots in Egypt, and it really pained the Lord. Because he'd made them these precious and awesome promises. Let me tell you something I wrote in the book that I'm writing right now.
Okay.
As I started writing what God had put in my heart, he just kept talking, so I kept writing. I want to tell you some of the things that God, examples of things that God is going to do to preserve his people through the time to come. Why is he going to preserve them? Because they believe these promises. The unbelievers are going to fall in the wilderness. You understand? God is separating
right.
Believers from non-believers. Forget the stigma of Christian. It almost doesn't mean anything anymore. Believers is what we should be identified as, you see. Believing God's word. The Lord said, as I started writing, the Lord told me that there will be saints who will be translated out of the middle of nuclear blasts because they're not under the curse. They'll walk through fires without being burned. They'll walk on the water in order to escape their enemies or preach the gospel. They'll multiply the food. They'll bless poisoned water and food. They'll raise the dead. They'll do miraculous healings, disappearing from enemies, conquering enemies with the spoken word, parting rivers, causing vehicles to run without gas or water or batteries, speaking clearly in languages that they've never learned, feeling no effect from man-made plagues and poison gas, blowing clouds of these away, guided by the Spirit to places of refuge, changing scoffers' minds, casting out demons, being able to be martyrs for Jesus, and much more, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let me share with you some of my experiences. You say translated out of the middle of nuclear blasts? Listen, you can't get any place where God cannot protect you or where God cannot provide you with a vehicle to get to the people you need to get to share the gospel.
Amen.
This happened to me many years ago, but I've never forgotten it. It's just as clear in my mind today as it was then. I was taken out of my bedroom in the middle of the night, and I was translated over into Eastern Europe, into a Gothic-type cathedral that was full of the saints, and I was standing in front of them preaching in tongues that I did not know what I was saying, but they certainly did. These were not, you might think by the building, these were starchy saints, but they certainly were not. They were so joyful and exuberant, you know, over the word of the Lord, and they enjoyed it. They understood it. Although I didn't understand it, they understood it.
Amen.
And I came back in the morning. I had been gone what was to us all night. It was day over there, but it was to us all night. And I was totally worn out. But the fact that the Lord can take you and move you around on the earth like that, do you know that that is going to be common in the days to come? This is what the Lord told me. Translation, I'm talking about earth-to-earth translations here.
Right.
This is going to be common in the days to come, to get the gospel out, to protect his people, to deliver them out of the middle of trouble. And not only that, I had the next thing he said there, I had an experience with that. He said people were going to walk through fires without being burned. God put me in a situation back when I worked for Exxon where I was on their fire team. I was a supervisor, but they had people from different walks of life and different expertises on their particular fire team, and we had a number 9 and 10 pipe steel that was on fire, and it was just acres of fire, and it went up into the sky stories and stories. I mean, that's how tall these big units were. They were many, many miles of pipe in these units, and if you had a rupture, then you had this burning hydrocarbons all over the ground and flaming up the unit. Well, this is just what happened. One of these units caught on fire, and we were called to go over there and put the fire out and cool down the pipes that were drooping and such and such. God miraculously preserved me one time through a fire because there were five of us on a 3.5-inch line that they had given us orders to go up into the unit and cool down pipes that were going right through the middle of this raging inferno, and the pipes were starting to droop, and they knew that if they dropped their fuel, the fire would be a lot worse than what it was. So they had us up in there with this big 3.5-inch line cooling these pipes down, and they had us walking in a foam blanket that they had laid out on top of the burning fuel, and a foam blanket is to separate the air from the hydrocarbon so that it doesn't burn. And they had safety lines on both sides of us, the safety men on these inch-and-a-half lines on both sides of us. In case the fire would come back on us, they could keep us cool down. Well, the fire started breaking down the foam blanket while we were under here cooling these lines down. And one of the men on the safety line got excited, and he swung the hose around on us, and it washed away the foam blanket. Well, there was just flames all over us. There was five of us there standing in the midst of the flames. And let me tell you, your bunker coats your helmets and stuff like that, it doesn't hold up to that, you know.
Right.
So, but what happened was the guys in the back all took off running and left me on the 3.5-inch line.
Right.
And they got burned and went to the hospital, let me tell you. And I was still in there. You know what happened? I felt the fire coming up underneath my coat. I felt it licking my arms. I felt it licking my legs. I felt it licking my body. And you know what? I wasn't feeling any pain. And I knew it. As a matter of fact, I felt real encouraged. I felt excited, you know, to be in this, you know, and you can imagine there were all kinds of firemen and people from the unit all standing on the outer edge of this thing looking on and seeing what's going on.
Wow.
And this fire was all up under my coat, and I stood there probably for another 5 to 7 minutes just cooling the unit down. The pumper had to cut back the pressure because one man can't hold a 3.5-inch line.
Right.
It'll take off with him like a jet rocket, you know. So they cut the pressure back when they saw one man was on there. And so I had enough coming out to cool lines, but I stayed. I didn't even have to stay. I could have set it down and left. But I felt the Lord was on me, all over me, to stay there. So I did stay there. And, you know, even when I tried to turn the nozzle off, the nozzle had rocks in it, and the nozzle wouldn't turn off. Well, you can't set a 3.5-inch hose the nozzle on down and burning fuel. What it does is it takes off like a rocket behind you, and it throws burning fuel all over you.
Right. That's just like a garden hose when we were a child playing with it. You throw it down, and it kind of just jumps in the air and snakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And 3.5 inches will beat you to death.
Yeah, quite a big difference.
But anyway, I stayed in there for probably another 5, 7, 8 minutes. Everybody was looking on, you know, while I was doing it. And when I finally did get this nozzle to shut off, it was all of the Lord. I knew it was of the Lord. He wanted to give a demonstration. I'd been preaching the gospel to these guys, you know.
Right.
He wanted to give a demonstration. Listen, the guys that ran out immediately got burned. We're in the hospital. And yet, I didn't have a burn on me. And I stayed in there for 5, 7 minutes in the middle of a flame with no foam blanket. And, when I finally got the nozzle turned off, I just set it down and calmly walked out. And when I walked out, I was looking at these guys that were looking on, and they were just staring at me like, what is going on here, you know? And I got some funny comments after that, you know, but they saw that God can protect his people. He will deliver his people. God is awesome. You can't get anywhere he can't protect you. But you know what? Before you go into the fire, you need to believe that you've got this provision. You need to believe that there is no curse on you. It was put upon Jesus Christ. You see? And you got to believe that lamb that you ate will cause the death angel to pass over and destroy the Egyptians on either side.
Right.
See? That's our God. We've got the provision. They don't. But if we count on our own provision and not on his, then we're in trouble. And the next thing I said in there was walking on water. I haven't gotten to do that yet, but I'm looking forward to it. But
praise
I will say that I read a book some years ago. It was called Like a Mighty Wind, Mel Terry. Some of y'all might have read it. It's about the Indonesian revival where hundreds of people observed people walking between the Indonesian islands on the water during the time of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's called Like a Mighty Wind. Mel Terry is his name. And after that, it was The Gentle Breeze of Jesus, all about the Indonesian revival. Listen, this is going to happen. It's going to happen commonly because the latter rain of the outpouring of the Spirit is going to be upon God's people during this time. We just don't know the anointing that's going to be upon us during this time. The next thing that he told me was they'll be multiplying food. You know, if you bring it out there with you, since God supplies your every need, if you bring it with you, he doesn't have to multiply it. But if you just go, like he sent the disciples out, notice how he sent the disciples out? Don't bring your money belt, guys. You know, don't bring your extra shoes. Don't bring your cane. Don't bring this. Don't bring that. Why did he do that? He wanted them to learn that God provided for them as they went. And when they came back, he asked them, he said, did you lack anything? And they said, no, Lord. Isn't that awesome? He proved something to them. He proved Jehovah Jireh. You know, God's our provider. He's there when you get there. The provision is already in the wilderness, folks. It's in the Word of God. Multiplying the food. Let me tell you a couple examples of this happening in my life. First of all, I remember one time that we had run out of everything in the house. Everything in the house. And I've walked by faith. I don't tell my needs to anybody. I don't even, in fact, this is part of my wilderness. I don't take up any offerings. I don't sell anything. You know, like Pastor Dan's talking about, I don't sell anything. Don't take up any offerings. Don't take any money from the state. Don't take it. I walk by faith. I don't give gimme sermons. You know, I don't do any of those things. And yet God miraculously provides for me. And if you get in the place where your supply runs out, that's where God starts. Listen, I was sitting at the table. In fact, my wife asked me, what are we going to do? We won't have anything left in the house. I said, well, set the table. Set the table. We're going to go sit at the table. So she set the table, and me and her and my five kids sat around that table with the plates, and we blessed the Lord, and we thanked the Lord. And I said a little prayer that just automatically came up out of my heart. I said, now, Lord, you sent us here, and you promised to provide. And we're asking you, Lord, either to fill our plates or to fill our tummies. And now, I never had thought about that till it came out of my mouth.
Right.
Fill our plates or fill our tummies, you know?
Right.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, when I got through with that prayer, I looked across the table, and my oldest son was getting up from the table and says, he said, Dad, I'm not hungry. I'm full. And I looked from him to the next one, and they all started saying the same thing. You know, Dad, I never thought I'd hear that out of that boy anyway. You never could tell him
that. Yeah, I've got a 15-year-old that way.
Exactly. So, you know what? Before it was over, they had all gotten up. And before I realized to check myself, I was full, too. We were all full. We couldn't eat another bit. You know, I said, listen, if God can fill your stomach, if he can bring water out of a rock, manna out of the sky, where can you get that he cannot provide for you? That's the whole point. And he desires to show himself in this way. There was another time that we ran out of everything. Okay? The only thing we had left was spaghetti. So my wife made a pot of spaghetti.
Right.
And we blessed that pot of spaghetti, and we ate our fill. And she just stuck the whole thing into the refrigerator. Since there wasn't that much in the refrigerator, she stuck the whole thing in the refrigerator. And we pulled it out the next day. And that pot had filled back up. Everything that me, five kids, and her ate the day before, it was filled back up.
Wow.
Because you can't get anywhere. You know, it's when you're in need that God supplies it. And his power is made perfect in weakness. My kids, in all of the years that we've gone through this walk of faith, they've only fasted one time where they were forced to fast, just one time. And it was a trial of their faith, and God answered at the end of it. But I tell you what, they'll never forget it. It's awesome. So another thing, blessing poisoned water and food. You know, all across this land, the water is going to be poisoned, and the food is too. Before the tribulation's over, everything is going to be poisoned. And God's people are not just going to be saying these little blessed prayers that they've been saying. You know, the Word is going to be sanctifying that food. Through the Word of God and prayer, the Bible says, that the food is sanctified. We have the authority to command that food and that water to be blessed and to be healed. It's not by accident that when Moses led the children of Israel into the wilderness, that the first thing they had to do is bless poisoned water at Marah. That's an exact type of our time. The water is going to be poisoned everywhere, and nobody's going to be willing to drink it but the people of God who believe the Word of God. Because if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you, Mark 16 says. We have that authority. The world doesn't. They better not try walking through the Red Sea behind us, right? They'll be wiped out. But we have that authority. But we need to know that we have it. We need to know that we have a better covenant based on better promises than what they had when they went through that first wilderness. We've also got a better foundation in the Word of God than what they had when they walked through that first wilderness. And yet it's a type of the wilderness that we are going to walk through. And many people are going to prove themselves not to be believers in this coming wilderness. You understand? God is separating the wheat from the tares in this coming wilderness. There are people that, among us, who are not Christian. They are not and never will be. They
right.
And when I should say believers, you know, because that's what really separates people is believers,
right.
you see. And we're gonna be raising the dead will be common. You know why? Because some people are going to be passing out of this life not having finished their course.
Right.
And God's going to have the saints to bring them back to go through this sanctification process that's going to be happening in abundance through the wilderness, you see. Now,
yep.
raising the dead. I got to do that one time by the grace of God. I don't take credit for none of this stuff. It's all
Almighty
God. He uses weak vessels. And he used a very ignorant, weak vessel in myself, just like he did with those fishermen that followed Jesus, right?
Right.
So, but I got to see that one time. I was preaching in a mission church here in Pensacola after I first moved here. And there was a lady that came in there. She had never heard the gospel before. And she came in there with her common-law husband. And she sat down and she heard the gospel, the real gospel, I might add. And she got real convicted. And came to the Lord right there. And then she wanted to talk to the elders. You know, she called myself aside and the pastor aside, and we went into a room to talk to her, and she confessed something that she had done. Well, she had just left 3 days before the public health unit where they had pronounced her baby dead on with three different tests.
Right.
The baby in the womb had been dead, and that was 3 days before this. They told her to come back for a DNC. She never went back. The Lord was dealing with her. She went to church, and she got saved. And she began to confess that she had killed the baby.
Right.
That she had done it on purpose because she didn't want her husband to know that this was not his child. And as a matter of fact, she was a white lady, and the guy that raped her was a black man. And she didn't want her husband. Her husband knew this man. She didn't want there to be any trouble. And,
right.
and this is what she said. So she actually killed the baby. Well, she was confessing this. And when she got through, I asked her. The thought came to me. I says, Renee, that was her name, Renee. I said, Renee, is there anybody that you haven't forgiven? And she said, yes, there is a man that I believe purposely aborted one of my children, and I just can't forgive him. I said, well, Renee, you just did the same thing. Don't you think you better pray for him? And she says, yes, I guess you're right. So she prayed a prayer that God would save the man and so on and so forth. And once she got through, I said, Renee, I believe that you're a new creature. I don't see, and this is what came into my heart. I said, I don't see any reason why God will not resurrect your baby. And boy, when I said that, the room emptied. I mean, there was, the pastor was there, his secretary was there, two or three other people were in the room, my wife was there and myself, and this girl was there, you see. And when I said that, they all started kind of meandering out of the room. They left the room, you know, so I continued to talk to her. And I know now that it was the Lord that moved them out of there. Because when God does a sign or a wonder like that, sometimes he will move the unbelievers out of the room. And he did it. So I called my wife over. Actually, before this happened, I prayed for her to receive the Holy Spirit. And this little girl, who was normally very quiet and very meek, she suddenly got real boisterous, and she was rejoicing, and she was praying in tongues, and she was just, you know, she was having a good time. And that's when I told her, I says, well, Renee, I believe God wants to resurrect your baby. So she came over and sat down. I called my wife over, and she put her hand on her tummy, and I commanded the spirit of life to come back in that baby in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the next day, the mission that she and her husband had come to stay in there, she called me the next morning. Matter of fact, she said, Brother David, I've asked the people over here to bring me down to the public health unit because of what they told me. And let me back up just a little bit.
We got to go. That's the end.
Oh, okay.
The baby was resurrected. Amen.
Maybe some other time I'll get to show you this.
Well, you can come back again sometime, but I hear my music in the background, so we've got to go, my brother.
Okay.
I was so enthralled and listened to you, I just let it go. Well, praise the Lord. We'll be back next week, and we'll get Brother David to come back on with us. And so praise the Lord. And until next week, shalom, folks.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.
This is the American Voice Radio Network, broadcasting live on satellite at Galaxy 7, Transponder 12, Audio 8.1. We're on the Internet at AmericanVoiceRadio.com. You can hear American Voice Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Time is money and knowledge is power. That's why you need the Basic Research Library CD from the American Voice now. This CD contains the Federalist Papers, which are the definitive writings illustrating the intent of the Constitution, and the Anti-Federalist Papers, which read like a crystal ball to everything gone wrong concerning the present-day Constitution. This CD also contains Bouvier's Law Dictionary and the Uniform Commercial Code, plus the inaugural speeches of the U.S. presidents, the U.N. Charter, NAFTA, Hitler's Mein Kampf, the full Communist Manifesto, the Patriot Act 1 and 2, the model anti-bioterrorism law, the Homeland Security Bill, the FBI's Project Medigo, and too much more to mention here. The CD contains over 1,000 files. To order your CD, go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call us at 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050 for ordering information.